So today we have Vanessa Scalero, a marine biologist. Hi, Vanessa. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So let's talk about your most recent initiative, your shark infographic that's been on many news stations.
Yeah, so I developed a video and infographic that provided advice for swimmers, divers, and surfers in Nova Scotia to help them avoid shark encounters and ultimately help them stay safe should it ever happen. The idea was really inspired by a lot of the media headlines I was reading talking about the fact that we were tagging big sharks here. And also about the unconfirmed shark attack that happened last summer. So I realized that could have given some rise to some concerns. So I wanted to create something that could hopefully alleviate some of that fear just by developing some basic educational materials.
And share with us some of the infographics that were there. What do they discuss?
Yeah, so the idea is just, you know, what are some things you can keep in mind to just avoid a shark encounter? So I think in Nova Scotia, one of the things we need to keep in mind is that, you know, we have lots of sharks lots of different shark species that live here. But from July to November, on average, white sharks tend to return here prior to going south for the winter. So they come here primarily to feed on things like seals. So a good way to, you know, possibly stay safe is avoiding activities near known seal colonies. So you don't want to be surfing around there during those peak months. That would be a very smart idea. Another thing could be, you know, just avoiding areas where there's fishing activities nearby, because those could be potential shark attractants. So that is basically what's highlighted in the infographic. The idea was kind of just to create awareness around the fact that we do have some white sharks here, and there's ways that you can stay safe just by avoiding some critical areas like seal colonies and fishing areas.
And you spoke about tagging sharks. What is the purpose of tagging sharks?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it helps scientists know where they are and understand when they're there and why, and if they have preferences for certain habitats. It also helps us establish things like site fidelity. So are sharks coming back to a specific area at a specific time every year? If so, why? It might be an important area to protect or to be mindful of for things like MPAs. So keeping track of those things just gives us great data to inform conservation measures and just bring that into policy considerations so that we're effective in protecting sharks and things like that.
What kind of shark species are most native to Nova Scotia, and are any of them ever been at risk of extinction?
Yeah, that's a good question. So year-round, you can find things like Greenland sharks, which are those really deep water, cold water loving species. You can find poor beagle sharks, black dogfish, which are also a deep water species. Seasonally, so when the water gets warmer here, typically starting, you know, maybe late spring to fall, we can find white sharks, like I mentioned. We can find basking sharks, mako sharks, blue sharks, spiny dogfish, and they'll stay here until, you know, they start to think it gets too cold, and then they'll return to warmer areas over the winter. Yeah. In terms of extinction, you know, I think everyone knows that the megalodon is probably one of those extinct species. You know, in terms of current species, I'm not sure which have gone extinct so far, but I think the reality today is that a lot of shark species are endangered. And there was a study in 2021 that actually claimed that one third of sharks and ray species are facing extinction. So while none of them are per se gone, it is definitely an important issue to keep in mind that, you know, often we're scared of sharks, but the biggest threat to sharks is actually us today. Yeah.
What is the reason behind these increase in numbers? Why are sharks going extinct at the risk of it?
Yeah, the main driver at the moment is overfishing. So sharks are fished for their fins, also for their meat. But one of the main reasons that we're losing them in such large numbers, is because of accidental fishing, so bycatch. So they get caught in these nets in the high seas, and a lot of times they're not even used because they're bycatch, as we call them. And so that is really driving that decline in their populations.
And speaking of sharks here in Nova Scotia, are sharks a threat to Nova Scotia?
Oh, geez, no.
Aw.
Yeah. I mean, if we're being realistic, the last documented, you know, shark attack was in 1891. And then there was one unconfirmed shark attack, you know, so I really emphasize that word because we don't know what species it was or any details about it further than the fact that it happened. And that occurred last summer. You know, I think we should just keep in mind that we do have sharks here. That's cool. And if we're spending time in certain areas where they're could be near their favorite prey items like seals, then there is the chance that we might encounter one. But I don't think it's a cause for concern. Say, for example, if we lived in Florida or Hawaii or California or these areas where there's sharks year round and in large numbers, you know, it's not like that here. We have some, but they're usually more offshore and we don't have the same numbers here.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
We wanted to hit you with some like myth busting type questions about like what people's impression of sharks and everyone's an idea of sharks is like jaws, obviously. So like some sharks look like they have their eyes rolling in their head.
Yeah.
Are sharks blind?
No, not at all. Some of them have such, you know, acute and amazing eyesight, actually. So
I didn't mean blind, like actually.
No,
blind.
Like, I get it.
Is their eyesight like bat's eyesight? Or?
No. So actually, when the eye is rolling back, what you're seeing is actually the eye protecting itself from potential damage when it's going in to attack prey. Some sharks will have a nictitating membrane, which kind of envelops the eye as the shark is going in to attack something as a form of protection. But, you know, sharks have vision that's adapted to very, very low levels of light and also like no levels of light. So for when they're swimming in deep, deep waters or when they're swimming at night, they need to be able to see and they have, you know, really great vision to do that. So no, definitely not blind.
And my question is, do sharks predate dinosaurs?
Yes. Yeah. So some of the earliest records of like scales and teeth, because sharks don't have bones, right? They have cartilage, so we can't find fossils in the fossil record. They date back to 400 million years ago, which is 200 million years before dinosaurs. And actually, sharks are older than trees, like the trees that we know today. Those came around, you know, a long time ago, but sharks were here much before that. So in terms of from an evolutionary perspective, that's really impressive because they've survived really harsh environmental shifts throughout, you know, history and time.
Survived the ice ages, all of them.
Yeah.
Do sharks have over 300 teeth, as we're told?
Some do, but let's just like pick that statement apart.
Sure.
So I'll explain it to you. So they have rows of teeth. And these rows of teeth kind of act as like a conveyor belt. So every time throughout their lifetime, they lose their teeth, right? And so if they lose a tooth, this, you know, from these rows, these teeth come forward. And this will happen with age or if teeth are damaged. So at one moment in time, a shark will not have 300 active teeth. It might have 300 teeth total with all those rows, but it might have just like 50 of those that are for biting into things and stuff like that. The rows of teeth can range from 5 to 15. It really depends on the species, but some can have 300 teeth and more, but again, not at once.
Okay, and so I feel like this is not true, but we're going to ask anyways. If a shark comes near you, is punching it on the nose a good idea to steer its direction?
Oh.
I've heard, bust this myth, I've heard that if you are attacked by a shark, the thing to do is like to go for their eyes.
Yeah.
Is that true? Okay.
I would definitely recommend that because if a shark is coming at you and attacking you, it's coming at you with its mouth open. So if you're going for the nose, chances are you'll end up in the mouth.
Yeah.
So
right.
I would go. So the nose is a sensitive area. So that's why that's often been told. But the eyes are also a very sensitive area and the gills. But again, you know, this is if the shark is coming at you and is attacking you. A lot of times a shark might come near you, but it doesn't mean that it's going to attack you. And if you're going to start striking at it and stuff, that might actually be bad for you. You might actually stimulate it in a way that you don't want to. So ideally, you'll just want to avoid frantic movements and observe how the shark is behaving before you start to splash excessively or yell or throw punches, because that could mimic how its prey would typically act. Maybe not punching it, but more of that frantic
movement.
Right. Yeah, so you want to stay calm and just try to exit with low energy and noise if you can, should that happen.
Sure. Oh, me next. So what do sharks like to eat then, if not people?
Yeah, I love that you just emphasize that because it's definitely not humans.
No.
But, you know, they're opportunistic feeders. So they'll eat on, you know, anything from small fish to sharks even. So it really depends on the species. Some sharks like to just eat like things like mackerel and tuna. Some tiger sharks eat sea turtles. White sharks like to eat marine mammals like seals, sea lions. And then it's been known that larger sharks could prey on more juvenile smaller sharks as well. So their diet is very varied. You can picture them really having a lot of fun at a buffet should they ever go to one.
I was actually just gonna, as a follow-up to that, I have heard that it is not good for humans to eat sharks. Is that true? Like alpha predators are not good to eat for some reason?
Yeah, it's kind of like a controversial thing right now, but you know, typically speaking, sharks clean the oceans. They consume weaker species, sick species, so they kind of keep systems healthy by doing that. And you know, because of their tissues, they tend to absorb, like store a lot of toxins like mercury and things like that. So consuming certain species could elevate your risk of consuming things like mercury, like we've heard this stuff with tuna and things like that. So you know, I don't know how great it is, but the reality is that in a lot of parts of the world, like shark meat is a reliable source of protein. That's what they can have access to. So it is a bit controversial on that end, but great question.
But if you have the choice, maybe
if you have the choice, yeah, I don't know. I personally wouldn't. I know I'm biased, but
I've eaten shark one time when I was like 6 years old, and I don't remember it tasting very good.
Oh, well, so. That's good. Say it louder, please.
And speaking, we know that the megalodon is now extinct, of course. So what is now the largest species of fish?
The largest shark would be the whale shark at the moment, which could be up to 40 feet in size. And then right after that is the basking shark, which is 30 feet in size. And what's funny about that, actually, since we just talked about what they eat. So these largest big sharks actually are filter feeders that eat zooplankton, so tiny microscopic stuff. You know, they don't even have teeth. Well, basking shark have teeth, but they're not functional. But they, you know, just open their mouth at the surface and just kind of eat all of this microscopic zooplankton. And it's ironic because like they're really probably scary to some because they're so large in size, but they're just these gentle giants.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I do have a question, speaking on the is it fact or not, do sharks use fields like whales to, so like a sixth sense to get a, you know, feel of their surroundings?
Yeah, that's a great question. So they have two additional things that are quite impressive. So one would be what we call the lateral line, which is equivalent maybe to our touch. So it's these tiny pores that go from the snout to the tail that essentially sense tiny vibrations and changes in pressure in the water. So that's one cool sensor. Part of their sensory system. Another is electroreception. So they have these tiny pores on their snout, which are called ampullae de Lorenzini, which I always mispronounce. But these essentially can detect the electrical field of species or prey that are around them. So that makes them really, calculated predators out in the ocean for finding their favorite food.
Sure.
Interesting.
Now, I know this is a bit of an odd question, but are there any ways that we can protect sharks?
Yeah, there's so many ways, but I think one of the simplest things we can do that requires, you know, little to no effort is really just continuing to learn about them and sharing what we learn with those around us. You know, the conservation really starts with education and awareness. And I think more recently, in the more recent years, there's been a really positive shift in terms of how we're thinking about sharks. I think people are more curious about them. And public perception is a big factor in, you know, support for policy and things like that. So I think that one of the best things we can do is just, you know, share the information we have. Social media is a great tool for that. If you're a student, get involved in local campaigns or start a club at your school if that you love sharks. I don't know. There's so many ways that you can just spread a positive message about them. And, you know, if you're really interested in the more policy side of things, there's so many ways that you can get involved in local decision making or make it a priority for ministers to start thinking about these things. You know, they're really at our service when we think about it. So the more we put an issue in our faces, the more we become more effective at protecting sharks and things like that.
I remember when I worked in a member of parliament's office, we got a lot of petitions about the shark finning practice. Yeah. Is it Japan primarily that most does a lot of that still, or is that an old issue?
Yeah, it still happens that sharks are fished for their fins. More and more, it's becoming prohibited. Mm. But unfortunately, when something is prohibited, it makes it enticing for it to happen on illegally, right? So sure. It has decreased given the awareness around the issue. But I would say today, actually, what's happening is that, shark meat is being consumed quite a bit, especially in countries, maybe not like here, but that's, probably another driver for why sharks continue to be fished. But, efforts like you saw are important to adjusting policies and even just getting them created. So people writing to members of parliament is a great way to protect sharks, as you guys asked earlier.
And my final question about, is it a fact or not? Because we've seen this in many movies. Can sharks smell blood from a long distance?
Yeah. I read this funny statement saying that they can smell one drop of blood from a mile away. And, I think the reality is that they do have these highly developed sensory systems. They're mm-hmm. navigating a large ocean world and, probably it's. Their nostrils are not for breathing like ours are. They're for smelling. So obviously it's much more developed than us humans. But the way water molecules will dissipate in the ocean and travel because of ocean currents makes that statement very overblown.
Kind
of
yeah. Yeah, I right. feel like somebody needed to make it sound sexier.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, it's overblown. And I think what we need to pick apart at that is that, a shark won't smell our blood from a mile away and then come and attack us. I think that's what people are afraid of.
I hope I make it in time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's not what's going to happen. Any fluid in the water might attract a shark, but it's not true that they're attracted to human blood and that they seek it out. That's not what, if that were true, attacks would be much higher on a global scale, and they're not.
Sure.
Yeah.
Here's a fun question. What is your favorite species of shark and why, if you have one?
Oh, God. This is a hard question for me to answer. So growing up, it was always the white shark because that's the one I was most exposed to, in movies and documentaries. And I was always drawn to its mystery, its power. But as I grow older, I guess, this evolves on a weekly basis. But I guess this week, my favorite shark would be the basking shark, which we can find here in the Bay of Fundy and around the Scotian Shelf. So we talked about it a bit earlier. It's that large filter feeder, but I'm really fascinated by it because, it's globally protected, but we have no idea of, its life history. So how long does it live? When does it reproduce? There's a lot of information that's missing about this globally protected shark, which I find ironic. So there seems to be a lot of consensus around the fact that they're important and they need to be protected, but a lot of big questions remain to be answered, and that really piques my curiosity.
And let's talk a little bit about you, Vanessa. Yeah. So you were in another major. What made you want to become a marine biologist?
Yeah, so at first, I lived in Montreal in Quebec, and it seemed like a far-fetched dream to be a marine biologist or to study marine biology. So I went to, I guess, the next best thing in my opinion at that time, which was psychology. And then I worked in a relevant field for a bit of time, and I really enjoyed it, but something was always missing. I think, since I was young, I was always reading about fish and sharks specifically, watching documentaries, so that was what I was always most interested in. And, I really believe that as humans, it is our duty to protect animals and nature. They're not infinite resources, so I really wanted to have a career that would allow me to get closer to these passions like sharks and to, be able to answer the big questions around their conservation and their, their protection and ensuring that their populations are viable for the future. So that brought me here, and hopefully soon will allow me to answer those big questions tied to how we can make sure sharks are sustainable.
All this shark talk. What do you think about sharks, Nathan? Are you a fan of them?
I'm a Luddite. My impression of sharks comes from Jaws mostly and other shark-related movies, so I'm no expert. I did have a phase, like I think a lot of kids go through a phase like with dinosaurs where mm-hmm. they're just such cool predators. Like I loved the hammerhead shark.
Yeah.
And actually I was going to ask you, like hammerhead sharks, I know sharks don't often attack people, but do hammerhead sharks, can they attack people? I always wonder how that would work because they look so like they have such small mouths, but I don't know. Yeah.
I've actually heard that, you know, obviously they're sharks can attack, but they're not one of the most common species that do attack among like the top three. Mm. Actually, I've heard quite a lot that they're some of the shyest species, so it's even hard for divers to get them to stick around for a while because they tend to be very like weary of humans, which, sure. Yeah, so...
The Mako shark, I remember, is the one that has a really scary face.
Yeah, that's the fastest.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, that's yeah. why, yeah.
Up to 65 kilometers an hour, it can swim.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I once heard that, and you can correct this myth too, I once heard that barracudas can sometimes be actually more dangerous than sharks because barracudas swim in, and they're not a barracuda, but they swim in, they take a huge chunk of you, and then they leave.
Yeah.
They, like, book it, and then you bleed out.
Yeah. I'm sure there's so many species out there that can, and probably even very tiny ones, that could do more damage than a shark. It's just that, you know, the way we talk about sharks in the media makes us, you know, feel like that's the thing we need to fear most in the ocean. But, you know, the reality is that this ocean is such a vast environment and there's so much out there that we haven't even discovered yet. So who knows, especially in those deep waters, right. what we might find. But I'll stop talking because now I'll start feeding the fear on the deep waters.
No, I am personally fascinated by sharks. It's actually on my bucket list. I've always wanted to swim with great whites, yeah. but in a way that's safe for them. So maybe if I'm in a cage and they're happy, then yeah. I'm happy. But I do think, like you said, they are misunderstood, and that's why we have you here today, Vanessa, to share some information and correct some misconceptions.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was really happy to be here, and thanks for having me. Sorry.
Thank you so much, Vanessa, for coming. Thanks. And we wish you luck with your research and your degree.
Thank you.